Rana here, letting everyone know that the AR Social Club is now accepting members for July. You can sign up until July 1st at arsocialclub.com or arsocial.club, if you're Brian, pardon me. And membership is now open. June is closed, of course. The boxes are shipping ASAP. We absolutely can't wait to share this experience with all of you. So just remember, that's our fabulous cocktail box that comes once a month and our incredible members-only Kiki, where we mix and we learn and Connor from Fiasco absolutely enlightens all of us on our fabulous bespoke choice. Can't wait to see you at the club. Hello, dear.
Hello, dear.
How are you?
You know what? I'm doing pretty well. I've got some laundry going.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
So Yadvin is not doing your laundry.
Well, I had kind of a wild night last night. I didn't want her to see what ended up.
Okay. That.
Yeah.
Right.
So
well, that
it just
was considerate
sort of like,
of you.
Let's just put it this way. It's very
that.
Colorful. You know what I mean?
Oh.
So.
Let's not put it that way. How about
okay,
we don't?
Okay, well, we can put it however you want it.
How about we don't put it that way?
How's okay, that well, anyway, that's why she's not doing the laundry.
I just wanted to say I had such fun catching up with you last week. I thought our episode was a total roller coaster ride.
I listened to, I mean, we've talked about it, but I listened to it like again and again. I loved it. It was just so nice to like be back together.
And it inspired some really wonderful follow-ups and letters from people.
Well, first I want to say something. You're missing the headline here.
Oh?
Rana.
Yeah.
Invited me into the main house for a cocktail this weekend.
Okay.
Okay? So who is winning now?
It took a while. It took you leaving the country one, two, or three times to get invited into the house. But you know what it really was? Do you want to know why I did it? I wanted to.
I don't know if I do.
Oh, I'll just tell
you. Go ahead.
Well, then you cover the ears. I'll tell them.
Okay. Okay. I'll hear it.
I needed to make sure when we got to the Kiki that you were going to know how to behave. And it's been so long that you've been in person with people.
It's true.
And the club is really important to me. I've worked really hard on the club.
You have. I've seen the work.
There's a certain level of decorum and showmanship.
Sure.
That I expect.
At arsocial.club.
At the arsocialclub.com.
Right.
And so I wanted this. That was sort of like a test run for you. I didn't want you to know because I didn't want the pressure to be on you.
I see.
But I wanted to see how you're going to behave so I could make sure to say,
I hear your words, but I'm not listening to them.
Correct. As usual.
Yeah. So I'm so excited to be invited, to be cordially invited over for a pre-cocktail cocktail club cocktail.
Uh-huh.
I can't wait. I can't believe it.
AISocialClub.com. I hate to tell you, I had a number in my mind that I thought people were going to sign up.
Yeah.
And we've busted through that number.
Oh my gosh.
And it makes me so happy because it makes me just think. People know a good thing when they see it. That's how I feel.
Absolutely.
About.
But I got to tell you, Rana, are we ever putting anything out there that isn't top notch and something people want to be a part of?
Well, I can't wait till we get the backlash emails and posts once it goes out. But we'll see. I actually think people are going to be thrilled. And obviously the Kiki, priceless. Can't put a number
priceless.
On that.
Priceless. You can't.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna mind my P's and Q's, Rana.
So just for the people that are joining us in the social club, your boxes will go out the second week of June. So coming right up. And then keep an eye on your inbox for the invitation to the Kiki.
There she blows.
We dealt with that very difficult question about pregnancy loss last week.
Yeah.
And we got two great emails. One, a follow-up from the writer. We actually got more than two. We got a bunch of really nice letters, but I'm just going to read two today. One, we got a follow-up from the letter writer, which was fabulous.
Wonderful.
And we also got a fabulous letter from a dear listener to the podcast, someone by the name, she signed it, so I'm going to say, someone by the name of Jacqueline.
Wonderful.
So I think I'll read Jacqueline's advice and then we'll read the follow-up. How does that
Perfect.
Sound?
Perfect. I love that.
Hello. I'm listening to your latest episode and I had to write to thank Rana for her wise words, re the woman who recently suffered a pregnancy loss at 11 weeks. A lot of people were writing in basically, which I thought was so beautiful. We should probably forward them to the writer. Just basically saying, you're not alone, which sounds right. like a few people have told that. But the writer's description of the grief she is suffering is heart-wrenching and all too relatable. I suffered a devastating miscarriage in late 2020, and the despair I experienced in the weeks following my D&C was terrifying and exhausting. I turned to friends who had had similar experiences with pregnancy loss for comfort, and though these conversations helped me feel less alone, the only piece of wisdom that gave me any solace during the dark time was something my therapist told me, which was echoed practically verbatim by Rana in her response. What that means is that your body can get pregnant. Your body knows how to do that now. I hope the person who wrote in can likewise find some solace in knowing that she isn't, quote, broken. This fact, along with finding out my AMH and testing the fetal tissue to determine the cause of my loss, a chromosomal abnormality on 15, very detailed, but I like a little, you know me, I like data. Allowed me to process my loss from a more rational standpoint and make a, quote, game plan of sorts for the next phase in my fertility journey. Thank you, Rana, for your wise, compassionate, and grounded response to an issue which plagues so many of us. XOXO, Jacqueline. P.S.
How lovely.
Also, I might suggest this listener check out Dr. Amy, I don't know how to say this exactly, Evazadeh,
okay.
E-Y-V-A-Z-Z-A-D-E-H, The Egg Whisperer. That's Dr. Amy, AIMEE.org. I worked with several different fertility clinics to no avail, but then a friend told me about Dr. Amy, who is truly a miracle worker.
Wow.
I can't speak for Dr. Amy, but I will tell you that if this is the Jacqueline I'm thinking of, she's a beautiful, beautiful little boy and probably didn't want to include that in the letter because she didn't want to put that pressure on a listener. But I am only telling you that she's had a very positive outcome. So there we go.
And she was on Charlie's Angels. If it's the Jacqueline right. I'm thinking of.
Jacqueline Smith. That's right.
Right.
Well, you said it, so now I can say it, but that's correct. Yeah. How about you read from the letter writer herself?
I would love to.
Okay. Leora, as I remember.
Leora.
And Yanatan, her husband.
Dearest Rana and Brian, I sat in tears today listening to you answer my question. And then I played it to Yanatan, who cried too. I won't be able to write eloquently enough or in enough detail to express just how much the care and time you took meant, but I want to make sure you know how grateful we both are.
Oh.
Rana, there were so many different things in what you said that touched me and helped me and put things in place. The advice and the ideas and the perspective that you both gave will honestly make a huge difference in how I take these next steps and in my thinking. But also the kindness, compassion, and empathy you both showed me was something that was just so comforting and loving and special. I've been a massive fan for years, and the laughter and fun and love that you have brought me has already been a real gift. But this was something else, and I truly want to thank you both for being real mensches and for your time and care and dedicated work. I will absolutely be going to the Western Wall, and now I can't wait to send a follow-up in the not-too-distant future of me and a little one.
Aww.
Much love, Leora and Yonatan, too. How sweet.
Isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful.
That makes me so happy. And I will tell you also, Leora, Tony's going to handle it, but I emailed with the rooftop personally at the Hotel Mamila to find out if they were going to let us do a gift certificate for you. And they absolutely are. So Tony's going to handle all the details, but go to the wall, do your thing, take a walk, feel the vibrations of the city a little bit. And, you know.
And also, like, of course, like, if you don't want the gift certificate, that's okay. Tony can find someone else, I'm sure.
Sure.
Brian can fly to Israel and have a drink on the rooftop bar at the Mamila if he wants to.
Yeah, if you're paying her.
But they couldn't have been nicer about it. And I even asked them, is it okay if she just goes up to have a drink? Because, you know, they have a restaurant up there too, gorgeous.
That's so nice.
I ate there with Conan when we were in Jerusalem together. So it's sort of a, you know, fancy spot.
Right.
But they said, of course, we'd love it. We'd be thrilled. It'll be gorgeous. I can't wait.
Oh, that's
and
amazing.
I'm excited for you to dust off and have this next stage of your journey. And boy, are you strong and tough.
No
and
kidding.
Congratulations. All right. Now read me a couple of these comments and then, you know, we got to get to our guest who's only having the biggest week of his life. Excuse me.
Two major things coming out in one week. Are you kidding me? Two different mediums. Okay. Way to Goris.
Okay.
Podcast saved my life. I had granola stuck in my throat and ate yogurt to get it unstuck. Thank you to Brian and train conductors and Rana, obviously.
What was the story again? My friend Lindsay was on a train
and a woman screamed out, can someone get the conductor? I've got a Dorito stuck in my throat. The conductor stopped the train and went over and said, I think if you stick your head out the window while the train is moving, it'll push the Dorito down. And then a doctor came over and was like, oh, absolutely do not do that. He was like, the doctor was like, do you have any yogurt? And the train conductor says, oh, we probably do. And she goes, well, what flavor? And so
she's talking the whole time. Why are they even helping her?
Totally. She's talking. She's going,
oh, because she had that chicken bone feeling. She had a scratch in the back.
Yeah, because the doctor was like, well, how low is it? Is it like here? And she was like, no, it's like a little bit higher. Yeah. Unbelievable.
She wanted strawberry yogurt.
Can someone get the conductor? She wants strawberry yogurt. Can someone get the conductor? I've got a Dorito stuck in my throat. Fantastic.
Imagine the rate at which she had to be chomping those Doritos to get it stuck in her throat.
No, like swallowing them, really.
Yeah.
M says, goals. May we all be as classy and as Rana, as warm as Brian. It is wonderful to spend time with us, the two of them together. Oh, I love the show so much. And Callie OHW says, thank you. Listening to the podcast is self-care. I wish there were new episodes 5+ days a week.
Well, you can pay for that, dear.
Rana's breadth of
knowledge
is unlimited.
There's going to be a new tier on Patreon where you can pay $90,000 a month and we'll do five.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That'll be the new tier. Rana's breadth of knowledge is unlimited. Brian is thoughtful, intelligent, and hilarious. Thank you both for all that you do. Wonderful.
You know what I just realized?
What, Rana?
Nothing to do with any of this, but sort of does. Mm-hmm. NFTs, okay?
Sure.
Please. No, don't worry. We're not going to really talk about them because there's nothing to talk about. It's called The Emperor Has No Clothes, and it always has been. Right. And that's what it is. And oh, I'm so happy for you. You own a file that lives in the Ethernet. I don't understand.
I know.
And then now there's some lawsuit going on. Seth Green. You're right. I just said that. I know you can't believe it, but
a robot chicken?
Of all people.
Yeah.
Bought an NFT of a bored ape or something, and then somebody stole it from his digital wallet, and he had developed a show based on the character, and now does he even own the rights anymore because someone stole it and he's not in possession of it? I can't.
Oh, so NFTs are in crisis.
That has nothing to do with anything that I care about.
No.
But what I did realize was a few years ago, Wu-Tang did an album. And they made one copy of the album. I think it was solid gold. I'm not sure or not.
Okay.
And they sold it to one person for, I can't remember how much, maybe Dante can Google
it. There was like a bidding war
speaking.
For it or something.
Martin Shkreli bought it, the farmer bro.
What? You're kidding.
Dante, hurry up. Get twiddling. And that's what made me think of it because I said that they could pay $90,000 and then Brian and I would do for $90,000.
Of course we would.
We'll do 1 month of episodes every single day for $90,000. So
great.
If somebody wants to pay that money, that's $90,000 each, just so people know that not. But if somebody wants to pay $90,000, we will do that.
$2 million. $2 million.
But in some ways, that was the original NFT.
Sure. Yeah.
Because they made one thing one person could own.
Yep.
Did the FBI repossess it when they sent him to jail, Dante? Does it say he'll never get that out by the time we're done with this?
I wonder if they did. Also,
So anyway, that was where my mind went. And that, you know, that's how quick my computer is. That only took a split second for me to have all.
Well, apparently
thoughts.
NFTs are like great for the seller, but like not for the buyer.
Why would they be? How are they good for anything? They're destroying the planet.
I know.
And they're for people who have money that they should be giving to charity.
Couldn't agree
they're not
more.
Worth anything. So I don't understand.
Couldn't agree
You know,
more.
Some stupid, you know, people that live in the cloud value.
Exactly.
You may as well be Sims.
The government sold it.
For how much?
How much money? Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. This is a developing story.
I do like that Dante's learned to not talk and to just type. I will say that.
Rana, now I'm worried that he's going to talk.
Yeah, I know, but don't worry. He's not going to mouse in on this. I won't have it. Okay. Well, so listen to me. We've got a hot, hot guest. This is a big publicity week for him. He's got a book coming out.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got a show coming out.
Oh, my
gosh. Which
is,
I'm going to call it a reboot. It's not.
It's not a sequel or a
this or that.
Same,
different.
Right.
Queer as Folk.
Yeah.
Who else is on this show? Do you know?
Oh, gosh.
You don't
I know one of the performers from Pose is on it. And
never mind. I didn't know if there was somebody famous on it.
Maybe there is.
Playing the grandmother.
Right, exactly.
Dante, did we figure out how much they paid for it at auction? TikTok. Do, 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 do. Nope is his answer. Nope.
The answer is no.
What a Dante word nope is. Isn't that a Dante word nope?
It is.
Not no, but nope. Yeah.
It is. It is very, very Dante.
All right, dear. Without further ado, I can't wait to welcome into the Carriage House, Ryan O'Connell.
Love it. Rana, listen to this sound.
Does that put a smile on my face? What is that?
I got to tell you, Rana, this is the sound of another sale on Shopify. Uh-huh. The all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business.
Oh, I know Shopify. We use it for Ask Rana Coffee.
Of course we do.
Among other things, yeah.
We use it because it gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business so that upstart startups and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. So, Rana, we don't have to be a Fortune 500 company to do this.
I'll tell you what, that's entirely true because I'm on Shopify every minute.
There you go.
Trying to see where our sales are. Sure. I'm very involved and it makes it so easy for me.
Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibilities because believe me, what did we start selling on this podcast, Rana?
I think our first thing we ever sold was maybe like a t-shirt.
A t-shirt. And what are we selling now? Are you kidding me?
Pardon me, we're selling a cocktail club.
Are you serious?
In addition to our own beverage, a Negroni, our own personalized alcoholic beverage. In addition to our fabulous coffee, of course, which never goes out of style.
And Rana, I have a feeling we're not stopping there because success, no. I came up with this. Success is a million milestones on a forever evolving path.
It sounds like you came up with that.
Thank you. I did. Like Ask Rana, Shopify powers millions of businesses from first sale to full scale. So any size, you can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps like Facebook, like Instagram, like TikTok, like Pinterest, and MOA. Gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. Rana loves looking at the numbers.
Honestly, that sounds boring. I'll tell you something. If you're running a Shopify store,
it's kind of a thrill.
It is so exciting. I love looking at the charts. I love looking up the dates. I love looking and saying, well, this time last year, how did we do? Or this compared to this. Absolutely, it's a thrill.
And as we grow, Rana, Shopify grows with us. It's more than a store. It's possibility powered by Shopify. So go to shopify.com/askrana, all lowercase.
Thank you.
For a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features.
Oh, forget trial. The second they try this, if they really have a business and something they're selling, you're in. There's no turning back.
So grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/askrana right now. shopify.com/askrana.
Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss.
Now, wait a minute.
I'm so excited. I know this guy. I love this
guy. What
do you
mean you know him?
Excuse me, Rana. He's been on Attitudes a couple times, and he is, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Provincetown, USA, 3 years running, 4 years running. I don't know how long he's been going.
Mr. P-Town, USA.
Mr. P-Town, USA. He is absolutely brilliantly funny. Quick as
a cheetah. Yeah, what do people say?
Quick as a cheetah.
I'll tell you another thing about this guy.
Go ahead.
This is a big day, big week for him. Today, this is his, we have him on the podcast on his actual pub date, I believe is what they call it. Isn't that what they call it when the book comes out? Out today.
It's out today?
His new novel, just by looking at it, which he's going to tell us a little bit about. And then on the 9th, pardon me, he's starring as Julian in his Queer as Folk. So anyone
which I guess we're not supposed to call it a reboot. It's a reinvention.
A reimagining.
Yeah. Yes.
A reinterpretation. He'll tell us what they told him to say, and then he'll say that.
Ryan O'Connell is here. Hi, Ryan.
I can't, not to mention special on Netflix. We've got a Netflix star here.
And an Emmy nominee.
How did he have any time for us this week? We'll never
understand. That's what I want to know. This is a
busy week
for him.
That's how important we are as a podcast, I suppose.
I'm a really good person. Actually, I think how this happened is that my friend Bianca is a diehard fan of yours. And was like, okay, you need to go on Ask Rana. I'm addicted.
Oh, really?
And then all of a sudden it was, bing, 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 bing. It just happened, babe. It just happened.
Who is this Bianca? Congratulations, Ryan. What a week.
I know. What a wonderful week.
Thank you. You know, I just want to go on the record that I would never be as annoying as to request two of my projects coming out the same week. It's just, if you're gay and you make something, it by law has to come out during Pride Month. It like actually does.
That's true. It does. Oh my God, you're right.
You're not kidding. Naomi Ekperigin.
Are we
going to
talk about her?
Yeah, of course I know Naomi. Hello.
She's often my co-host when Brian's out of town. I gotta be honest with you.
She does such a horrible job on the show.
Let's drag her straight to hell.
Such a breath of fresh air.
I've been trying.
So funny, so naturally gifted.
She's okay.
Today she posted, do you know what Bak Box is?
Like a dog box?
Bak Box is like a gift box for dogs. So if your friend gets a new dog, you buy them a Bak Box and they get 1 month, 2 month, 3 months, 6 months. And every month they get a couple of new toys. Bak Box for Pride Month.
I could hear you say that all day, Rana.
Bak Box has something called a Galien.
What's that?
It's a gay alien chew toy. And wow. She posted Bak Box has lost their minds. They've lost their plot. Look, it came here from another planet, told everyone it was gay. It's none of your business.
That's what choices the alien makes.
It is really powerful.
But she absolutely said Stonewall could never.
Props on Mabel, Naomi's dog, for accepting it immediately.
No questions asked. I think the Galien was a plotline in Roland Emmerich's reimagining of Stonewall.
It must have been.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the Galien.
I'm
going to
see if I can show it to you. Hold on.
What a wonderful telling of that story.
She probably got in trouble.
When a white twink threw the first brick? I mean,
I'm sobbing. Okay, Ryan.
So anyway, tell us about the book and tell us about the show. And then we have to get to what this show is really about, which is helping people that don't have two projects coming out in 1 week. What do I do?
I'm so scared for them.
I'm so scared to make it to Provincetown in time for my rental.
Thank you so much for holding space for my pain because it is real. And thank you so much. And I am lighting a diptyque candle for everyone that doesn't have two projects coming out in June. I'm actually scared for them. And I'm literally, my teeth are chattering.
We give away a lot of Lalabo candles on this podcast. That's the other thing. At the end of the podcast, We've picked the saddest soul of the three letters. No, whoever speaks to us, and they always get something. And often they get a Lalabo Palo Santo candle.
Oh,
I don't know what's happening today.
Well, Lalabo has a new fragrance for Pride. I think they're going to call it Cum Dumpster Slut, which I love.
Great.
But how do you say that in French?
You say
it's more German, but still. You're on the continent. You're on the continent.
Tell us about what's going
on. Ryan, tell us about
here.
The book.
Okay. The book is called Just by Looking at Him. I don't know. It's kind of like a tragedy about the self and the body. I don't know. It's like,
what
how do I describe
mean?
It?
What it's, does that mean?
It's
a tragedy about
a
the traumedy. Self and the body.
I like that.
It's like, it's trauma, but it's make it lol. You know what I mean?
Yeah but what's the self and the body part?
Well, it's basically about, I mean, you're not going to believe this, but it's about
I already know you're nothing but a charlatan and a faker.
No, it's image issues.
I'm a fucking scammer. Absolutely.
Take it to the top. Stephen Glass
this
over
limp
here.
I have isn't even real. I've been limping to get ahead in Hollywood.
Once we have lunch in person, I'll make my decisions about it.
Hollywood cares so much about disability that I knew the only way to get ahead was to
take the only way. That's the way in.
Absolutely. Okay. So, life is dark. Okay. So basically.
But it is. That's where the comedy comes from.
Okay. So just by looking at me, you're not going to believe this, but he's a gay disabled television writer with a drinking problem. But it's not nonfiction. It's not.
Yes.
And
it's a Ramona Clef.
I don't know what that is.
It's a piece of jewelry, right, Ronna?
Yeah, it is.
A Romana Clef, I believe, is a novel that is like a novelization.
Oh,
so
like
you
Harper,
sort of
Harper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
based
yeah, sure.
in reality-ish. Yeah.
God, how good is Harper? Ryan, I have
so
to tell
good.
You though,
what?
It is no I know this from I think there's a big difference, by the way, between writing a memoir and writing a novel. And in my head, a novel is about 100,000 times more difficult. So I have to tell you, what you have done is certainly no easy feat. And I'm dying to know how many years it took. I'm not
okay. Can I actually blow your mind and actually take everything you know and put it into a blender?
Yeah.
So my memoir, which I got LOL at the age of .26, pray for us. Took me approximately 40 million years to write what essentially essentially amounted to a pamphlet that was sold at Urban Outfitters. Right. And this book I wrote in 3 months. I know it's really scary.
I don't think that's weird. I think it's that you had the permission to look when you're writing a memoir.
Maybe because it wasn't your first or something.
But you also have to taking stock of your own life, and you're constantly holding yourself to account about what did
yes.
I really think about this? What do I think about it now?
See.
What do I want to be honest about? What do I want to share? What don't I want to share? I thought I wanted to share everything. Now I don't. But you have artistic license with the book that you wrote, which is maybe this is me, maybe it isn't. Maybe I'm writing some of what I know, and maybe I'm writing some of what I'm interested in.
So
to give yourself that freedom, I bet it's a fantastic read. You haven't been kind enough to send us a free copy yet. So
are
I
you kidding me?
It,
oh my God, LOL. Well, that's going to change.
No,
that's
I'm sure
okay.
it's on the
I'm
way.
I'm going
to
buy it. Are you kidding me? I'm going to buy it, Ryan. I'm
Well, we're going to do what we always do, which is when people come on the show and they have a book coming out, I always buy 5 or 6 copies and then I hand them out to people when they come through my door because we've got to support authors, of course.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's powerful. Thank you. Yes.
Really?
Let them and teach them how to read too. You know, I really
have, authors should know how to read. I am with you there.
Did you have fun writing this book?
I did. So I wrote it. I wrote it like a month into lockdown, special at Shutdown Production. I was obviously feeling very lame as a Rob and very unmoored and out of control, which I don't love. Yeah. And I just was like, I'm going to do a little writing exercise because this world is hell. So why don't I build a new one for about a couple hours a day and get lost in there? And 1,000 words a day. And I thought, okay, surely I will run out of steam and hit some sort of wall. And I just never did. And that's how I got the first draft in 3 months was that
Amazing. Once
I just started writing it, it sounds so corny to say. And I feel like I should say, this was hell. It deleted years off my life. I was miserable. But it really was this really pure, joyous writing experience where it just flowed out of me. And I feel like I'm screwed forever because I'm never going to have something like that.
That's amazing, though. I mean, you know, when it's there, it's there. When you know what you want to do, you know what
totally.
You want to do.
And how nice to trust that. That's the thing. I think artists think that they have to be tortured all of the time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when it's right, as Brian was saying. And if it's there, it's there. And sometimes it's just really good. It's just the moment that it's supposed to come and happen. It doesn't have to be had to be good.
Yes.
But you do have to be committed to it for it to be good, obviously.
Yes. And I had a lot of diamonds. You know what I mean? I had a lot of not diamonds to expel from my body and my brain. So I think that was a lot of that, too, was sort of just needing to exercise. Like Linda
and also
style.
Having just done the other show, probably all of these sort of stories and tidbits and this is and that, or themes you wanted to explore, or threads or cards left on the board. That
I would love to
we
read
were going to do
this and that. I just wanted to put it out there.
But cards on the board that you thought, oh, we're going to deal with this in this episode, and then you didn't.
Yeah, and then
we
got
canceled. And then you sort of thought, well, here's... No, but you thought, here's another way to tell pieces of that story or use that joke or whatever it is, and fabulous.
Yeah, luckily for me, there's almost no content about being queer and disabled because of a systemic oppression.
Right.
So there's a lot to explore.
Sure. That's right. Oh, wait, yeah, we're not reading that being like, oh, we know this story. We've all seen this.
Well, you know what's funny is that, not to be like, whatever, but when we went out with it, I remember hearing back from a few publishing houses that it felt sort of similar to Special. And to that I say, did anyone say to Sally Rooney, hey, maybe you should stop writing the same story about straight people that just somehow don't know how to communicate with each other,
right,
that live in Ireland and have literary aspirations? Did anyone say to Noah Baumbach, maybe you should stop, you know, exploring the same, you know, Upper West Side milieu or the whatever, you know, it's like, it's sort of, or
so they said that as a criticism.
Well, a little bit. And it's so funny because there's
but
such...
also how ridiculous. I mean,
totally
this is
ridiculous.
What you are. You're a voice. This is my voice. Okay.
But it's
everything
also like...
I do, that's going to be imbued in it in some way, whether it's a goddamn cartoon or whether it's red.
Well, I have this,
you're
going to
be proud of it.
Yeah. I mean, I have this theory that like, if you're marginalized, it's like you're given this one slot to exist, and once you get that opportunity, they're like, okay, you're good, you did it, right? Okay, bye-bye, moving on.
Right. Or we can have one.
I don't
of
even
those.
Think that's a theory. I think that's basically a fact.
I agree. Yeah.
And it's sort of like, it's sort of like when you want more, it's sort of like, how dare you? There's sort of this feeling of like, you already did that.
But
thing.
It's like, what else do you want from us? We did it, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
They're sort
exactly.
of saying, do you have any other stories?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, this is a completely different story.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. This is a completely different story. It just so happens to also feature a gay disabled person. And I just, it's such a profound lack of imagination to like group it with Special and whatever.
Did you run any of this by Candace Bushnell? Did she read a galley or anything?
Such a good question.
Well, we had a falling out because she knows what she did. So I don't even want to fucking go there, Brian.
I get it.
Thank you for bringing up
I'm
that
I'm so
past
sorry.
Pain.
I knew I was going to trigger you somehow.
Yeah,
and I didn't anticipate that would be it. But
on the other hand, you obviously found some partners who understood what you wanted to do and have published the book, and it's exciting and it's coming out today.
Yeah. No,
so
why don't you stop
bitching about everybody who didn't want what you wanted, huh? And say
because
thank
I
you
like
to people
to
that
hold
did.
People accountable.
I don't blame you.
No, I think what you said is absolutely on the money and it has real value. And people have to understand showbiz isn't just because you had one thing, everybody gives you the next thing. You got to claw your way to it every time.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
True.
Just ask Warren Beatty.
Brian's doing a tap dance after this show with a bucket outside my house just to get, so I can let him come back tomorrow. Cause every day I say you're fired when he's,
I have
when
got,
it's
I have got to sing for my supper around here. That's
yeah.
True.
I say,
that's
don't,
powerful.
Don't bring that queer ideology back to the show tomorrow.
No, she's Rana. You should know is very anti-LGBT. That's the first
thing.
Oh, I
love
know.
That.
Yeah. It's pretty fresh.
Finally.
You know
it's
what?
Pretty fresh.
Hot
I
take.
Just, I'm just counterculture. I like to do what everyone isn't doing.
That's true.
So
that's
you must have really loved Roland Emmerich's Stonewall.
Yeah, she loved it. She was like, finally an accurate story.
I loved it so much LGBT. I couldn't watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan, we're not here to do anything except be of service to people.
Right.
Okay.
So,
this is a calling.
I feel that.
This is a calling.
Now, that's radiating from the Zoom.
None of us are therapists or expert opinion givers, but we all know how to speak from the heart, or as Ronan would say, the heart. And so basically what we're going to do is we're going to read a few letters and we're going to answer to the best of our abilities.
But we really do give people honest, genuine advice.
Do.
And if they write in, Ryan, they know they're getting a complete answer. If they put themselves on the chopping block, it doesn't mean that we're going to be unkind to them. But if you ask a question here, you're going to get an answer.
Correct.
Okay?
That's usually how that works, right? Question and answer.
No. Some people ask a question to be told what they've asked to be, have their life, their worldview reaffirmed for them.
That's like a lot of therapists in Los Angeles. TBQH.
We're not
going
to do it.
Correct.
And just to tie up the Ryan O'Connell of it all, just so that we say it one more time, the book is out today just by looking at him. And also the Peacock show, really Queer as Folk on Peacock, is coming out also this week, which is very
so exciting.
Yeah.
Really, what an exciting week. And then how good is that vacation in Provincetown going to be? Because you really feel like, I've done two amazing things.
This.
I can go relax.
Yeah. For 1 week, I will be, it's me and Leslie Jordan holding down the P-Town Fort.
Good for you.
It's just the two of us. Yeah.
Palling around. I love it.
Love it.
I can't wait to see your TikToks.
Me too. I think they're called talk ticks.
Oh, well, what do
I? Are you ready for the,
are you going to read the first one?
Sure, I'm happy to.
Okay.
Dear Ronna, Brian, and remarkable guest. Certainly.
If applicable, and it certainly is.
God. It certainly is. I wanted to start off, first it says, please don't use my name. And then it says, I wanted to start off this letter thanking you for the tremendous amount of entertainment over the years. Ronna, I've been following you for many years. And Brian, I've been listening to Attitude since the beginning. Your company has helped with some tough times. Very nice. All right, I'll get to it. I'm writing to you today as I'm having problems with a clingy friend.
Mm.
I'll give you a small backstory. I'll try. Ronna, sometimes these letters are very long, Ryan.
Every time.
For context, I'm a 31-year-old gay man. Does that mean I'm over the bad age? So Ronna has a theory that every man at 29 loses their minds and is just impossible. Which
I would say 27, but yeah, 29 works too. That's Saturn Returns vibes, right? Isn't that Saturn Returns vibes?
I think that's right.
Don't build your life on a 29-year-old foundation.
Correct.
That's real. So. Yeah.
In late January, I reconnected with an acquaintance I knew about 11 to 12 years ago on Tinder. Let's call him Jay. It eventually turned into a friends with benefits situation, but as it goes with those, I developed feelings. Jay and I hung out every weekend. We would spend it cuddling and watching TV, meeting each other's friends, and spending time together. When I voiced my feelings, When I voiced my feelings, it was not reciprocated. He said he saw us working better as friends. I understood, but you're aware feelings don't just disappear. We still continue to hang out like normal, having the occasional spat because we would go out to the club and he'd get wasted and be all over another guy in front of me. He'd be like, you need to be aware that there's going to be other people around, or I'm not looking for a boyfriend, and if I was, it wouldn't work with you. I'm looking for my forever person.
What a sweetheart.
Sidebar, I'm a monogamous person, and he has never dated anyone and has told me he sees polyamory as more for him. Just saying.
Okay.
All right. Cut to now 4 months later.
Polyamory and Netflix and chill.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. He sort of wants, yeah. All right. Cut to now 4 months later. I got over my feelings purely because I needed to, for me. We still see each other most weeks. However, lately I've been trying to expand my horizons and catch up with my long-term friends and make new ones. Here's the point. He's constantly like, am I invited? Why wouldn't you invite me? Why would he be? We aren't a couple. I understand he has told me he doesn't have many friends, but I'm not his fail-safe in terms of weekend plans. It also makes me uncomfortable as I've recently gone on a couple dates with a lovely guy, and I feel like I'm guilty of hiding something by not telling Jay what I'm actually doing. I'd say I'm having dinner with friends, and he'd say, oh, can I come too? There's no point telling him right now about this guy I've been hanging out with, at least unless it turns into something more serious, but what if it does? I shouldn't have to feel guilty for not staying in a situation that's not going to go anywhere. ? Jay is a good friend who is supportive, but how do I tell him I need to be able to socialize with an S? So this is a UK or Canada and not have him there every second. Sorry for the long letter and your thoughtful advice. C.
Wow.
Ryan, what do you think?
I feel like I'm going to be way harsh to try because I feel like I am so triggered by neediness in people. I do not like it. Like, I cannot imagine if I ever said to a friend, well, can I come? Like, truly 5150 me at Cedar Sinai. That is just not my journey. Mm. Or like, you know, like when you're like in a, you're like, let's say you're traveling to New York and someone from New York goes like, you're here? You're here? By the way, is there anything more devastating than the you're here? Yeah. And it's like, let's hang out. It's like, honey, we would have hung out. Like, I would have told you. You know what I mean? Like, let it die by feist. You know what I mean? So, like, I truly am, like, pretty cutthroat island when it comes to, like, dealing with neediness from people because it's just insecurity, and insecurity takes up way too much space and becomes a projection. So, I don't know. I would kind of give it to this person. I would call them out for their neediness, but I don't know. I mean, also, I'm conflict averse, TBH, so I would just ghost. I'm probably not the one to ask. Because I would be like, you're psych.
That took such a turn.
I'd be like, your neediness is like truly devastating me. And like, I need to abort.
But he seems to want a friendship with this person. Is that right?
Yeah,
Brian?
But it
he
seems
does.
Kind
the
of
only
toxic.
Thing that the thing that the, in, especially in terms of neediness, the first thing that I thought was annoying from the letter writer was that he would get upset with his friend when his friend told him he wasn't interested, and they would go out together, and their friend would be interested in another guy. That I don't like that vibe. I've had that. Like I've had friends who have that vibe, and it's just I don't like it.
Okay, Brian, I'm right here. You can call me out. I'm right
Brian
here.
Brian gets so fucking clingy with me and gets so mad whenever I hook up with
How
somebody
dare
else.
You? How dare you?
How dare I?
Well, wait, but who also, are we calling clingy? Are we calling clingy the letter writer or the friend?
Yeah. The one behavior of the letter writer that he mentioned of going out with his friend.
Yeah.
And also him being like, he's not monogamous because he says he's monogamous, and that's why he doesn't want to hook up with a lot of people, but then he also told me he's polyamorous. So who knows what's going on? It's sort of like, well, we know that he's not interested in you. And I don't mean that harshly, but that whatever he says, that's what that means.
Well, it seems like there's been a troll reversal in the relationship because it seems like he got a crush on him.
Exactly.
And then he wasn't interested, and now he's moved on. And now I think the guy is being classic in the sense that he's sensing he's moving on.
Totally.
That guy probably liked having the attention, and now that the attention is gone,
And that's where I was going. That I think honestly, what has happened here is this guy is sensing that you are moving on, and exactly what you said, and that now he's sort of like, whoa, I was the one getting attention here. I was the one being fawned over. I was the one who was like the plus one. And it's a common thing. Everyone has felt that when a friend gets into a relationship, but this is a little different because there might even be some narcissism here.
Yes. And he also wants him to choose him over the other people. Mm-hmm. Or the other possibility is that he also just wants to expand his social circle. He being the friend of the writer, and just wants to do that predatory thing again, that this is no different than the club. You're going to invite him to brunch and he's going to hit on your friend or ask your friend out.
Yeah. The letter was giving, I have one friend.
It was. And you know what? Honestly, what you just said was perfect. Like just, if you honestly just say something like, look, I want to make friends and I want to make my own friends. So if you can't understand that, I don't know what we're doing. Like what could be complicated about that?
Also, anyone that you feel like you have to hide from the fact that you're dating someone is usually like not a good sign.
No bueno.
I would throw it in his fucking face.
But I think it's not a good sign. I think it's not a good sign that his crush isn't gone if he doesn't want to tell him that he's dating somebody else.
That could be.
I think he still has feelings for the guy who said he doesn't want anything with him.
Yeah,
and
of course.
So he doesn't want to tell him he's dating someone else now because he wants to leave. They have a mutual codependence thing happening here where the one who was getting all the attention wants the attention, and the one that has the crush is still holding on to the idea that the one that wants all the attention wants it from him.
Yes. It's not a healthy friendship.
Yeah, well, it's actually, you can just lean into the codependency and become a throuple. Like, I love that.
There you go. But it'll never, the letter writer will never feel in that ridiculous situation that it will be even.
Course.
No, I know. It will always, this is what I think you do still have feelings for Jay, but just so you know, you can go down that path as much as you want. It will never work. Jay is probably a narcissist, or I don't know. It's just, I think it's a personality type to know someone has a crush on you and to still want to hang out with them all the time, even though you don't want to do anything. I think that's strange.
Alison Dubois voice. Know that.
Well, there's also a little bit of pandemic thrown in here, which is that a lot of people had two or three people that they hung out with during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so now he's sort of breaking out of that mold a little bit, which is I'm ready to go see other people. I'm ready to date other people. I'm ready to expand my horizons.
Yeah.
And this guy is thinking, aren't we still getting a takeaway and watching a movie on Saturday night? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not? You're going to a bar? Well, why aren't you inviting me? I'm basically, the crux of the matter is that he has been his boyfriend without being his boyfriend for the last 2 years or however long. Mm-hmm. So he wants to keep doing the boyfriend, no boyfriend. And the other one is saying, no, you don't want the same things. So if you really don't want to be a boyfriend, no boyfriend, then you say, you're not invited to everything. I have other friends. Why wasn't I invited? Because I didn't feel like it. I'm going out with somebody else.
Because I don't like your stupid face.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't want to. I mean, I have other friends, too. I don't know what to tell you. I want to go do this. And You're putting me in a bad position even asking me. You're not invited.
Yeah, possessiveness is not cheap.
Yeah, how about something on... Sorry, I already made these plans. How about something on Sunday?
Yep.
Or yeah, God's day. God's
but
day.
But really, exactly. This isn't... This has run its course, my dear. That's the problem. Yeah. And everybody is transferring all the feelings into the wrong baskets. You're both having this sort of relationship, no relationship, and you both really want other things, or you both don't want to give to each other the things that each other, you know, wants from you or whatever. So it's not going to work, but time to fly out of the nest there, sweetheart.
A guy who's obsessed with you, but also won't fuck you. Like, welcome to your 20s. And also just give him to me.
Okay, moving on to our next question. My dearest Ronna and Brian, and guest, pardon me.
Excuse me.
My erasure.
I'm a 34-year-old gay man. See, this is a very gay podcast, Ryan. I apologize.
Yeah,
Ryan. Especially because you're anti-LGBT. This must be so
That's
hard.
What I'm
it's
saying.
Very difficult for her.
That's yeah. what I'm saying. It's called, this is a you're tough doing, moment for me.
You're doing full exposure therapy.
Imagine how hard this is for me. Exactly. I'm a 34-year-old gay man who has been plagued by addiction for most of his adult life. Unfortunately, like so many gay men, I turned to drugs and alcohol in my teens to cope with the shame I felt because I was gay. I hit what I had hoped would be my last rock bottom at the beginning of the pandemic. When I received the memo from work that we were transitioning to the, quote, work from home module, I was terrified. Mm. For context, it's a very heartfelt letter. I work for a company that produces adult content. My job is to review said content to make sure it meets compliance standards. I knew it was inevitable that my addictions would bring me to my knees without the structure and responsibility of having to physically go into the office. Okay, that's interesting. It took about a month and a half before I finally called my mother to accept the help she had been desperately offering me for years. She paid for a 3-month inpatient program. It was not cheap. I'll never forget the day she picked me up on my last day of treatment. She broke down in tears, expressing her joy of finally having her son back. I managed to stay sober for a year and a half. I relapsed in October and have been on a very scary decline ever since. I feel such shame, guilt, and disgust over this. I know I'm responsible. Oh, dear. I'm so sorry to hear that. I know I'm responsible for the choices I've made that have led me to this point. I've let everybody close to me down yet again. I hesitate to reach out to ask for help because of the money that has already been spent. I realize you two are not professionals in this regard. You have both been a constant voice in my ear for the better part of a decade now. Consider this a very desperate attempt from a broken person who truly does not know if they are worth saving. Reaching out for literally any type of advice. Love forever and always. Kyle.
Kyle, my heart is absolutely broken for you. That is so sad. I think you need to ask for help.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
These people love you, dear. They do
Everybody.
Not. They do yeah. not want to live in a world without you. Mm-mm. And so forget about the money, the shame, the grocery bill. The shame is what got you in this place in the first place.
Totally.
It is the most useless of all feelings and emotions. It is the reason that you are spiraling. It's the reason that you turned, as you said, to drugs and alcohol or whatever it was in you when you were a young person, which so many people do, and of course is understandable. And this was your trajectory, but it doesn't have to be your whole story.
And it doesn't.
Yeah. Ryan, dear, I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt you. You say whatever you want to say.
But no, it just really resonated with me because I got sober during the pandemic. I've had two rounds with addiction because one wasn't enough. The first was with opiates in my 20s, which I abused from like the ages of 21 to 27 and then kind of got clean cold turkey from, I look back and I'm like, wow, hashtag blessed. I don't know how the fuck I did that.
That's very hard, yeah.
It's very hard, but it was a kind of confluence of things and... I was very fortunate to find my way out of it. And then I had a slippery slope with alcohol that started in my early 30s, which was very shocking to me because I had been drinking for 12 years, quote unquote, normally. Mm-hmm. And it was just sort of a steady decline. And then the pandemic, as the writer is mentioning, I kind of knew that the pandemic would fast track things with drinking. I think, you know, obviously on Instagram, social media, we saw everyone being like, ha ha ha, like vodka at 9 a.m., which actually is like incredibly dark. And I was definitely one of those people that was using alcohol to cope. You know, everyone is worth saving, obviously. I had done NA and AA. Those programs personally did not work for me. They've worked for so many people and they've saved so many lives. It sounds truly, truly insane, but I read a book called This Naked Mind by Annie Grace. I'm like, hashtag sponsored. No, but it really did kind of change my life because I don't know what this particular writer's addictions are, drugs, alcohol, whatever. I mean, I think you can kind of replace alcohol with drugs and it sort of is the same vibe, but this book kind of talks about society's obsession with booze and how we worship at the altar of booze and how it's been really conditioned into us at an early age that we can't have X, Y, and Z without alcohol. And just seeing the power that alcohol has over us and what we've grown up with, like I'm flashing back to like Christina Applegate drinking red wine at 11 a.m. and it being really funny. And Hoda and Kathy Lee having mom juice at 10 a.m. Like, lol, that's really funny. If you replace that with them taking Vicodin, you'd be like, wow, they really need help.
Yeah.
It's also just like alcohol and drugs are addictive. I think people get kind of caught in this thinking of like, oh, well, are you genetic predisposed? What's your history of addiction in your family? It's like, well, anyone can get addicted. It's not your fault. Between the fact that these are addictive substances, between the fact that we live in a culture that encourages this kind of behavior, I felt like reading this book, I felt it like was very, very empowering.
It's called This Naked Mind.
This Naked Mind. It turned out I was wearing, my mind was wearing like 40 layers of clothing. but it just, I felt like the writer here, I felt very ashamed. I felt like I have triumphed over so many things. Why can't I triumph over alcohol? I mean, I felt like, you know, I quit painkillers. How can I not quit alcohol? It was really just, I walked away from reading this book truly believing this is not my fault. And we go to, you know, we go to great lengths to not feel like addiction could happen to any one of us. But the reality is it can. And it's not anyone's fault. And we, again, like the culture that we're brought in really contributes to that harmful thinking and it contributes to addiction.
It's not just your burden. It is also happening. I think it's tricky because what you don't want to do is, you know, sell everyone a narrative of this is happening to you, that you don't have a personal responsibility in it. The truth is that it lives on the edge of these things, which is how you interact with the world, what's happening in your environment, in some cases what you're predisposed to. But it is absolutely true that your mental health is just like your regular health. It's great when it's great. And when it's not, it can be a slippery slope so quickly.
And the thing
is, so hard to come back from. And it's tough, tough work. And just the same way as you have to rehab a leg if you break it. Nobody says, well, why don't you just walk? Well, stop not walking. You know, it takes time to heal.
And I don't know the appropriate language for addiction or anything like that. So I might be talking out of my ass.
The same,
but I will say, you went to rehab and for a year and a half, it worked. So it clearly has worked for you.
You've done it.
So just listen. And I can't imagine it's a rare thing for people to slip back into addiction. It's probably not that rare. But I think the more times that you try to kick it in a really useful way, like a rehab or something that would – like a program – whether it's AA or whether it's a rehab, I think probably the better you get at it. But for a year and a half, you were successful. So my guess is you would go back and who knows how long. I mean, it would probably be longer. I don't know.
And maybe you need to change a few other things about your life, which is you say right in the letter, you knew that the lack of structure of not going to the office, et cetera, was going to be a problem for you. So I'm not saying be the only person that goes into the office, but it may very well be that this job, you know, is not the job for you doing compliance for pornography where everyone, you know, that's a look, go ahead and enjoy it any way you want. I have no issue with that, but it can be a grubby business from time to time. And that may not be the world that you need to inhabit. Maybe you need to be working outside or working at a Starbucks for a couple of months or whatever it is, somewhere you have to be somewhere every day and somebody's looking for you and that gives you a life structure. And it doesn't mean you're a guy that can't do this or a person that can do that. It just means you need a little peace of mind to get your life on track and that you know that about yourself. And, you know, I don't mean to say everyone has to go become a barista, but I'm just saying that you maybe need a little more structure and then things will fall into place a little bit. And then from there, you could find another job that's fulfilling in the way that this job is fulfilling.
And but you know that about yourself now.
Something's not working. I mean, you know that's what you need. That's a big that step it in is. Itself.
But you have to ask for help. You really just yeah. do.
And your family loves
wants to
you.
Do it. Yes.
Your mother, think about the look on your mother's face. That thought that you invoke or that moment that you invoke is the moment of all she was saying is, I have missed you and I'm happy to have you back. And so what she isn't going to say is, oh, I can't believe I spent $32,000 on this. She's going to say to herself, how quickly can we get you back to when you were happy? She just wants you to be happy and thriving and wants you and doesn't want to imagine a life without you. None of these people do. These are not people that have turned their back on you. These are people that want you alive and healthy and healthy and want to help you overcome this. And I'm sure everyone feels they could have supported you more when you were a teen or in your early 20s, when you were figuring out your, you know, identity and what it meant to when, I don't know what your coming out story is, et cetera, but I'm sure that there's some feeling in your family that this is something that they can do for you now that maybe they didn't do for you then too. And that everybody just wants you to make peace with this on some level so that you don't feel like you need all of this. But it is absolutely true that everybody's mental health, if we haven't learned this in the pandemic, it is such an easy thing to lose. Mm-hmm. As you say, Ryan, you never imagined this was going to be a problem for you. And then it became one. And that's a totally common thing that is happening and that people need to not have any shame around talking about.
Also, you know, life doesn't exist in a clean narrative. Like we tell ourselves stories in order to live by John Deere. And I feel like we like to think, okay, I triumphed over this thing. That part of my life is over. Now I can move on to the next chapter.
It's not linear like that.
Exactly. It's really not. And that's not a moral failing. That's not like anything. That's just sort of that's life. That's ebbs and flows. And you have to be very forgiving to yourself and just
not
accept
perfect.
That's part of
you can't be perfect.
Yeah.
That's such an important thing to take a moment and process, which is it's absolutely true. And you don't know what curveballs life's gonna throw at you. You think you're sober and it's fine, and then who knows? And two or three things can pile onto each other. And then what are you going to do? You start going for a drink. Then it's two drinks. Then I don't, on and on and on. Okay, so now we've got to unpack it a little bit.
And by the way, I guarantee you, if your family has an inkling of the fact that this is you're in a decline, which they probably do, they are going to be so relieved to hear you say that you want to get help.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're going to be thrilled.
That's all they want to hear.
Totally.
You're very lucky. There's people that love you. They just want to help you.
Yeah.
You're not telling us, I don't know what to do. I have nowhere to turn. Do you know a place in, you know, Sacramento that has services? There are people that love you that want to help you. So let them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he doesn't have to be a big, and also the other thing is they probably had to have an intervention for you last time. Imagine what a relief it is going to be for them that you're coming to them. Instead of them having to trap and wrestle you into doing this.
Yeah.
You deserve it now. I want you to do it right now. I want you to pick up the phone right now and do it.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let us know what happens. But this is not as desperate and as low as it sounds. This is just a moment. And every step after this is going to be a step forward. So go get a nice hug from the people that love you and let them say, we'll tackle this together. That's what they want.
You ready for the last question, everybody?
I hope it's about fighting again like we had last time. We had a very serious question.
The emotional whiplash.
It was a big whiplash last week. We went from something very serious to I can't stop farting. So, yeah, we'll see what this brings us. Dear Ronna, Brian, and lovely guest, my question is specific, but also general, and I'll keep it succinct. In college, I was in a band that was pretty successful, excuse me, and I also started the musical Pippin.
Excuse me.
I know.
A local celebrity writing to us. Yeah.
A random girl gave me a mixtape. I know. It was early 90s after one of the show with hand-drawn everything on the label. She had amazing taste. I remembered it included Suzanne Vega's Queen and the Soldier. I don't know that one.
Okay.
Anyway, I honestly was expecting Ryan just now to be like, you don't know Queen of the Soldier?
No, I mean, I know a lot, but Suzanne Vegas is kind of like blackout curtains for me. I mean,
yeah,
sure.
All I know is Tom's Diner and
Luke. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Those are the correct things to know.
Don't look at me.
Anyway, I kept seeing her around campus.
Don't
like every day. As it turns out, she had bribed someone in admissions to get my schedule. And even had her friend take one of my classes, even though she wasn't in it, to get any dirt. Am I missing something?
How did we go from Suzanne Vegas to like doing
in college? I was in a band that was successful, excuse me, and also started the musical Pippin. A random girl gave me a mixtape. Early 90s.
Came after a show. She gave you a mixtape. Okay.
I wonder if it was after a show of Pippin or if after it was a band show.
It doesn't matter. It was after a performance.
How does Pippin figure into this at all?
This person wants us to know that they were.
That's my favorite thing
I've
ever
heard. They were a star.
This person came after one of the shows
to say, oh my God, I love you. And I made you a mixtape.
Groupie vibes.
She made her the mixtape with Suzanne Vega. Anyway, I kept seeing her around campus like every day. Okay. So she was a big fan, I guess is what it was.
Stalker.
As it turns out, she had bribed someone in admissions at the college to get my schedule and even had her friend take one of my classes, even though she wasn't in it.
Had her friend to, okay.
Even though her friend wasn't actually enrolled in that class.
Okay, starting a GoFundMe for her friend.
Was this person like a TA or a teacher? But anyway, go on, yeah.
To get any dirt. I finally agreed to go to lunch with her, so I guess that's where the jump is. I guess this person had been pestering her for lunch.
She had a crush. Okay.
I finally agreed to go to lunch.
By the way, is this person a straight guy?
I think this person, we're going to find out, but I don't know if they're straight, but it's definitely a guy.
If this is a straight guy, this is like actual fan fiction. Like straight guys wish. This is like movies have been made out of this fantasy that is not real. Like
yeah, she's sort of the manic pixie dream.
Right.
Girl.
That's like not real. That's a male screenwriter fantasy of like a stalker girl who like won't take note for an answer, like swim fan vibes.
Yep. I think we're going to find out this guy was straight in college and now isn't. But anyway, go on.
Okay. Sorry. Oh my God. Getting ahead.
As it turns out, I don't know, but that's my guess, this is a straight gay friendship.
So this guy was not pretending to be straight, but not saying whatever he was really doing. And she had a crush on him. I mean, this is, you know.
Hot. Yeah. Okay.
I finally
agreed to go to lunch. Rosie O'Donnell and Tom Cruise.
Oh.
Yeah.
I finally agreed to go to lunch with her. Did that ever work out between them?
I'm certain that she did, yeah.
I think she changed the locks.
Yeah. Oh, good. I think she did too. I finally agreed to go to lunch with her, which turned out to be a very liquid lunch. How could it not be?
What a great story this is. Where is it headed?
And we eventually became friends. At the time, I was bisexual but closeted about the male part.
Okay.
Eventually came out, but she still had a crush, and I may have let her on a little bit. The liquid lunches were on her daddy's credit card. We went to Thailand together and rode wild. That's a big jump from her bank for lunch.
Okay, now they're literally in Burke Down Palace. They're Claire Danes and Kate Beckinsale.
Absolutely.
Like,
okay.
Fabulous. So this was her fabulous straight-ish friend. She was totally in love with this guy.
Yep.
She had money on her daddy's credit card.
Yeah.
He was the performer of, he was Mr. Fabulous performing in Pippin and being in a band and everything else.
He kept
a trail of Bloody Mary breadcrumbs.
I agree, but what I love is that he went from she would pay for lunch every now and then to like
to
we
Thailand.
Were in Thailand riding elephants
yeah.
and made lifetime memories.
Yeah.
fast forward 30 years. We've been friends the whole time.
This is another boyfriend, not these, boyfriend situation.
I gotta say, these transitions are absolutely, I'm not prepared for they're one
abrasive,
of them.
They're abrasive.
It's gonna get worse.
Fast forward 30 years. We've been friends the whole time. She came to my wedding and I to hers. And we absolutely adore each other and laugh a lot, even though our friendship started, strangely. Over the years, I almost gave up on her because every time we got together, it was me that initiated it. Oh, how the tables turned.
Initiated what?
Reaching out. The reaching out.
They never hooked up.
No. Okay. If this all comes to nothing,
I'm going to be furious.
I get it. She lives in New York.
If these details come to nothing, I'm going to be furious.
She lives in New York City and runs a popular women's clothing brand and has a young child. And I have more of a leisure type life. By the way, I'm not surprised that this fan turned into a real go-getter. She gets what she wants.
Leisure type life, addicted. Okay. Yep.
No, she got his schedule from the admissions. When that's she what wants I mean. Something, she is, gets it.
And she's going to be running a fashion brand.
The schedule was light. The schedule was light. He's tech avail.
But still, I often feel ashamed and weird that it's me that always has to reach out, which brings me to my general question. When I think about it, almost 90% of my friends, and they're fabulous people, excuse me, are the same way. I'm always the one who reaches out. With my former college stalker, this is so funny, I have just accepted that it will be me because I know I always want her in my life, but what about all the others? I'm having a bit of a crisis about it.
Oh, wow.
Do you think it's okay to be always the one who reaches out, or should I pick and choose the ones I really want in my life? I have a wonderful husband, but he's not a big sharer and can be an emotional brick wall. So I tend to need my friends for those deep chats and laughs. What? You should lean on them for that anyway, I think. No. But I'm starting to feel like being the one who always has to initiate, feel like being the one who always has to initiate is deflating my ego. In some ways, I feel like everyone is so narcissistic now that it's normal. But in other ways, I'm flabbergasted. Any advice or help?
Who's the narcissist?
That's what I was going to say. That was my first question.
There was like 80 parts of this letter that like told on themselves, which I love.
Yeah,
me too. I love when someone it like accidentally opens a window and you're like,
The devil's always in the details. The truth is somewhere right there. Cheers, Henry. Not his real name.
Oh, I feel bad. I mean, like, yeah. I mean, honey, it ain't great if you're the one reaching out. But judging by this letter, I'm not surprised a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just like a little braggy vibe that feels a little unearned and weird and strange. And also, if you can't rely on your husband for deep chats, literally, what the fuck are you doing with that?
Like, that's true. And also, how much space did your friends have when you started these friendships?
I've got news for Henry if he wants it.
Go ahead.
Oh my God, give.
Henry says, I live more of a leisure type life. Henry's a house husband, okay? Henry doesn't do anything. Henry doesn't have a schedule. Henry goes to Pilates and then he gets tired or he gets his skin done.
I was going to say, this is like where Jordan Catalano is now or something.
He's really hot.
Of course he's hot. Why was she chasing after him, this chubby friend of his that was in love with him in college?
If he's hot, I take back everything I said and I love him and I cherish him and I want to meet him and introduce him to the family.
She's a chubby Jewish girl running a shapewear brand and he's an ex-gay crush who she loves. But guess what? She's running a big business. She's married. She has kids. She's a girl boss. She has a full life. And so she doesn't have time to just have bottomless, assless mimosas with you all the time because she's a grown-up, Henry. And all of these people are grown-ups. And you are not a grown-up. And that's just basically what the situation is. So if you want to fit into their world and see your friends and have their schedule, you have to do what everyone else does and say, I have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday night next week. Do any of those work for you? That's how her day is full. If you want to be part of her life, you can write to her and say, do any of these dates work? And she says, love to do Saturday. But the idea that people should be sitting around still dreaming about your performance in Pippin and wondering when you have availability is absolutely unrealistic.
Yeah.
I like the idea of shooting your friends some dates, but yet people just don't.
They're not going to reach out. Also, everyone knows you're available all the time because you're a house husband.
I hope you're doing something interesting with your time.
You don't have anywhere to be.
Yeah. He needs to pick up a shift at Tasty Delight.
I was going to say, you need something like just anything to make your, anything for you to talk about. I don't know. Like, maybe they just always know where you stand on things.
You know what it kind of gives me? It kind of gives me, like, I was really hot and charming and everyone was obsessed with me. And
my hair's thinning.
Now
it's like Josh Hartnett in Virgin Suicides.
Aren't so obsessed with me and I don't quite know what to do with that.
So uh-oh, Ryan might have just hit something.
What? Is that
I think you hit on
something.
Is that
dark?
The lead is always, look, the question's never the question. The question is always, what's really going on here?
Well, by the way, we're not saying this person's a bad guy or that his intentions are
wrong. No, we think you're really hot. We think you're really hot. Exactly. And we celebrate that. We celebrate how hot
I think
you are.
He has a warped perception of what other people's lives are like. And I just think everybody else, look, your life sounds pretty fabulous. And I'm glad you're living it on your own terms and that you're happily married, et cetera, et cetera. But all of your normie friends who have jobs that they have to go to or do from home from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then they have to go to bath time or then they have to go to dinner or then they have a work event.
Depending on how large their family is, you're maybe like 10th on the list of their
concerns.
They're just busy. Yeah. It's not offensive. It just is. Yeah.
Also, you should be booking weekends away with them. You should be saying, can we do Miami March 18th to the 20th, and then you can have your chitty chatties all day long if you want to, and everyone can tell you how great you look in your bikini.
Well, he's probably also feeling that void in a way that his peers aren't, because, like he said, his husband doesn't fulfill him in that way with the deep chats. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's clear that, and it's giving sugar daddy. It's giving, he landed a sugar daddy and like live, laugh, spend.
Getting a little, and a little bit like 1950s, which might be the same dynamic a little bit. Like it's a little bit like.
But it's also fine for your partner to not be the person that you want to have all those friends.
Well, that's what I was trying to say. Was that,
I don't think everyone has to be everything to
neither. And I do think that there are times when you can run it, you know, you have the one deep conversation with your partner. And then if you just are repeating yourself, you should have that conversation with somebody.
You can have 10 other conversations with 10 other people, but these aren't people. Guess what? These people aren't going to do pick up the phone when you call. These are people that are either in a meeting or in the middle of something or taking 5 minutes. You have to make time with them if you want it. And I think a little, you know, getaway or whatever, something everyone can look forward to, which is a couple months, maybe you do it a couple times a year, whatever it is. Then you're going to get your camp vibes, you know, college chit chat. You want to go back to the relationship you had with these people when you were single and in college and in your 20s. And they're just not in their 20s anymore. They have other responsibilities. So they have to carve out that time, and they'd probably love to. But absolutely, I think you're both right that this is a Jordan Catalano that people are used to chasing. And now, you know, people chase a little slower when you get older. And they're not single anymore, et cetera, et cetera. You're not going to get all that attention that you want so much.
But I'm sure your friends love you. I'm sure
they love you. They're just busy.
Yeah.
Brian says with zero conviction addicted.
No, I bet you're a lot of fun.
Brian, you're an actor. Come on, Brian. Sell that a little bit more, okay? I've seen your work.
I bet this guy can still sing Pippin. I mean, I bet, you know, look, I bet he's still got a few tricks up his sleeve, but I also never.
What about Revive Pippin?
I never had a question like this before, where the person wrote 3 paragraphs about how gorgeous they were and desirable. And then the question was, how come my friends don't reach out first?
It did take a lot of trust, but I want to say, I think one of the answers could be to do a revival of Pippin and invite them.
Oh, absolutely. And invite us.
And invite us and let us see the magic at work.
Yes, but this person will expect someone to be at every show every night. And these people are all going to come on one night. I'm just letting
little
you
Countess
know.
Luann.
And they're going to go home by 9:30 after light appetizers after the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even at 5 o'clock. They might
but
say,
it sounds like you're,
they might
like
say you're, we had dinner before. We have to go home now and catch the train at, you know.
Oh, especially if they're
Central.
Straight and have children. Yeah. Yeah. They're the first to go, first to leave.
If you want something, ask for it. Make space for this thing to happen. Just make
it easy
happen.
For them. Yeah.
But also examine like maybe why people aren't really reaching out. Like, you know that saying, you meet two assholes and one day you're the asshole?
Mm-hmm.
You have to sort of like, you have to like examine a little bit. You have to examine a little bit. You know what I mean? There's something going on. You know what I mean? A little lack of self-awareness. You know what I mean?
Time
to get the shovel and dig.
Absolutely. What does it say about you that you can't believe the world isn't floating right towards you anymore instead of you having to float towards it?
And like I said, like, it's also just that thing of like, when you started these friendships, how much space did your friends have? Or was it just you started these friendships because they were fawning over you? I don't know.
Yeah, that's real.
Well, they had plenty of space. All they did was do bong hits in Thailand for 10 years or whatever that's they true. Did.
Yeah. He misses being stalked, which I think is really relatable.
Who doesn't? And
yeah.
It's a little bit of like a child star thing, I think. A grown-up
child. I miss my stalker.
Excellent.
I miss my honey, when the stalked becomes a stalker is what's going on right here.
Yep.
The other thing I'll have good news for you is not one of these people realizes that you're the one that reaches out all the time. They're not even keeping score.
Right.
You're
exactly.
Keeping
You've
score.
Got the time
to another I thing would. To put on the list. Another thing to put on the list of things to examine.
Excuse me, if you were running Jones, New York, would you?
Wait, Jones, New York. What is that?
It's like the women's line at Macy's
or anything.
I would certainly have the time. But what's been Jones, New York?
All right, this Ryan. Is the time in our show, Brian.
It is, Rana. Ryan, this is the time in our show where we decide which of the three letter writers deserve something special to be sent to them from the heart. So are we going to go I think we know.
I think we know. What if I did a curveball and was like the last one?
Yeah.
Pippin.
He deserves more.
Well, he honestly is in almost as much pain as the second guy that wrote it.
Well, it's a painful thing.
Yeah. Midlife crisis.
But I think we want to
We're going to send him a baseball cap because I think his hair is thinning and that's part of the problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, no way. If he's having a life of leisure, Rana, he's taking that. He's taking control of that.
He's got a man bun.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's figured out the solution to that.
Send us a picture of you with your doodle, whatever kind of doodle it is. Sheep-a-doodle, labradoodle, burn-a-doodle, you know, cavapoo-doodle. Yeah. Cavapoo-shawn. So obviously it's a central person.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I know so, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
What are we going to send them, Ryan? What would you want in this situation? What would have been helpful to you in that
Here's
moment?
Here's some examples of things we've sent. We've sent we'll sometimes do like a Palo Santo Lalabo candle or something. We'll go
condle.
Just a condle. Something that just feels nice. It could be anything. It truly could be. We could send them a copy of that
air
book.
The book that got me sober, is that too on the nose? Is that everyone's path is different. And I would, but I will say I've even given it to people who haven't gotten sober, but I've really,
it honestly sounds really interesting. Yeah.
It's honestly incredible.
We're going to open this book and it's going to be,
it's going to be a
graphic novel. A graphic novel.
Book. Yeah.
It's some sort of Scientology graphic novel about, levitating to another plane.
I am a Scientologist that has nothing to do with it.
It never does. It never does. They're so able to keep those things separate, you know?
Yeah.
I think we can send you this book.
Yeah.
That's Ryan's recommendation. And I do actually, even though we do give it out a fair amount, I think Palo Santo candle is a great idea because it's all about purging the space and good beginnings to things, creative, bringing in a creative and a new energy to the space.
Yep.
And I think that's what you need. You need to open a window and realize you've just been inside a little too long and you need to throw out your vodka bottles and you need to call your mother. Mm-hmm. And she's going to come over and she's going to give you a big hug and say, you've been in your room too long, basically. I don't think, as desperate as it feels, it is, and I think also that this is a very normal part of the trajectory of getting sober, which is it doesn't always just take. You have to stumble a little to figure out what you've lost sometimes and what you're trying to get back to. And I think that's okay. That's part of life. Right?
I do agree. Ryan O'Connell, what a dream you are.
What a week he's having. His book is out today.
His book is out 2 days, so please go wherever books are sold and find Just by Looking at Him by Ryan O'Connell, his novel. And also,
it sounds like a fun read,
on
I have
Peacock
to say.
Is this week. Oh, it sounds great.
It's a banger. I'm proud of it.
Good. And also, I guess, Ryan, do you want people to, what are your handles? Where can they follow you?
Please don't follow me. please don't follow me at Ryan O'Con. And if you do follow me, I'm seriously scared. So please don't do that.
Don't wait for him after class.
Don't do it.
Please don't.
Don't go to Thailand.
Don't take him to
Thailand. Elephants. He's not interested.
Right. He's not gonna do it.
Now I gotta go.
He seeks a life of leisure.
Take him to Provincetown.
I have rehearsals for Spamalot. I'm in Spamalot, and I actually don't have time for this bullshit.
I get it. If you're in Spamalot, who would have time for it? Honestly, it's a full-time job.
Ryan, you are a pure delight. The book sounds amazing. I'm so excited about Queer as Folk. I think that's going to be terrific.
Fab.
But I think it's wonderful that you're proud of this book and you think it's great because that means it is.
Yep.
Yeah. I hate my first book. So I feel like when you hate your first book, you can, I feel like I'm very objective in a weird way. I'm like, my first book was a flop. Let's redo. The second book's better.
I can't wait. I hope I see it in an airport sometime soon.
Oh, glamorous.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan. You're the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Kiss.
Smooch.
Dear. Where's the cliffhanger? We've got to read the cliffhanger.
We're going to do it right now, Rana.
Okay.
I think you're reading it. Yes.
What do you mean you think I am? Like it's my job. I have to do it.
Well, no, you don't have to do anything, Rana. Believe me, I know that.
I mean, just the idea that you would say, oh, okay. Dear Rana, BRY/YAN, and special guest if applicable. Okay. This friend Lena from another gay person, Brian. I don't know what to do. I've been a chip since the beginning, but never thought I really had. By the way, I hope everyone knows that we were joking. I don't know how much gayer the show could be, so I hope that people know that I love.
Everyone knows
I love all the letters.
Of course, Lana. Even
a couple of the pluses.
Sure.
I've been a chip since the beginning, but never thought I really had a good question to submit until now. All names have been changed to protect the potentially innocent. And apologies in advance if this is too long for Rana. I did my best to keep it to the essential details. We'll see. I'm a 33-year-old gay man living in a major mid-Atlantic city. Oh, yeah. In 2016, when I was 28, I lived in a smallish southern city. While living there, I befriended my neighbors, Brad and Sarah, a married couple a few years younger than me, both 25 at the time. I always got the sense that Brad might not be as straight as he presented, but I'm not one to push, although I was, admittedly, attracted to Brad. Sounds like forbidden fruit. Sounds like Brad standing on the porch in a, diaphanous...
a little fig leaf.
White dress, exactly. Mm-hmm. Doing, you know, pulling the laundry board off the line while his husband was at work, but in any way, or his wife, I suppose. After I moved away, I kept in touch with Brad and Sarah. Okay. Tragically, Sarah passed away from cancer in 2018.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh my God, at 27, horrible. Brad was devastated. We texted almost every day, and I was trying to be as supportive of a friend as I could be. I flew down the week Sarah died, helped Brad with some of the legal issues involved, and just tried to be there. Brad came to visit me in the summer of 2019, and after a night with a lot of drinking and a lot of talking and soul-bearing, we ended up cuddling on my couch. Nothing happened at all aside from cuddling, but I realized my gaydar remained intact, and Brad was, in fact, much less straight than he originally presented. We continued texting almost every day, and Brad finally came out to me as gay. Brad started telling me about all the men he was seeing, and Rana, he saw a lot in all caps of men. I was proud of him for coming into his own and being comfortable exploring and experimenting. Brad very quickly fell into being a, quote, seen gay, Brian knows the type, and then started serially dating guys. A scene gay. What does it mean? He's out at the clubs doing drugs or something?
Well, I don't know about doing drugs, but yeah, just someone who's worried about the body, who is maximizing his potential with the body, someone who wants to be at the right places, a West Hollywood type is what I would say.
On the scene, wants to look great,
going to the parade, going to the places, dove in deep. Yes, exactly. Okay. Right. Trimming the eyebrows, the whole business.
Uh-huh. I visited Brad down south, and while I was staying with Brad for the weekend, we made out once, but again, nothing more. Brad then told me he needed to move out of the south and wanted to move to my city. I told Brad quite honestly that I was concerned that he would find a clique of other, quote, seen gays when he moved here, and we would not see each other at all. Brad was very offended at this and insisted that that would never happen, and my friendship was one of the reasons he was okay even considering moving to my city. Philadelphia, Washington, D.C.
Sure.
Well, it doesn't take Rana Shtetl clairvoyance to guess what happened. Brad moved here. We hung out a lot at first when he first got here, and I even let him park his car for free at my house. But soon thereafter, Brad made a group of other scene gay friends, and within a month or so started seeing someone. We'll call him Ian Day. Brad told me about Ian Day, but told me that this guy was just for fun, and that after two dates, Brad wanted to break up with him. We stopped texting as much, but I didn't really think anything of it. 2 months later, Andy was still around, and Brad wanted me to meet him. We made boozy brunch plans, but on the way to brunch, I got some really upsetting news about my mother needing surgery. She's fine now. Thank God. Baruch Hashem. I didn't want to burden Brad and Andy with this information, but I was a little distracted and not as personable at brunch. Once I got home, I immediately texted Brad to let him know that I recognized I wasn't myself at brunch because of some personal issues, apologized for it, and told Brad that I talked to him about it once I knew what was going on with my mother. Oy, oy, oy. That fateful brunch was 8 months ago. After having to go to my parents' place and making sure my mom would be fine, I called Brad to let him know what had happened. Brad appeared understanding, but I immediately felt a distance. Once I was back home, I tried texting Brad to make plans to meet up, but he was always busy hanging with Andy and unavailable. After 2 months of back and forth, Brad and I finally met for a drink. I told Brad I didn't like this distance and wanted to fix our friendship. Brad told me he thought I didn't like Andy, and Andy thought the same. Wow, Brad really went all in, didn't he?
He's in.
I explained that I never really got a chance to meet Andy on good terms and had no real opinion of him. Brad assured me repeatedly that we were good and that we should hang out more. But that was essentially the last time I saw Brad. I've reached out several times and Brad says we should make plans, but then nothing. I finally gave up. About 3 months ago, I told him to come to my house to get his car so I could do some work in my yard. And when he came over, he said he wanted to get some drinks together soon. I told him to text me when he was free. And I've heard nothing since. Truth be told, I'm still sad about how this friendship ended. Brad was a really good friend of mine. We were in constant contact for years, and we knew everything about each other. Being dropped so unceremoniously by Brad hurts, and I'm still hurt about it. So my question is, do I do anything? Do I tell him that he's really hurting me by acting this way and try to salvage any aspect of the friendship? Or do I just accept that this is over? That's the
noir.
OV. It ends OV. Over. And then there's no, whoever sent this sent it without signing it at the end.
Well, for the full, for the full letter and for the full experience, go to patreon.com.
I don't think they're going to get the full letter, but I think we understand the question.
We do understand the question.
Even if it's signed, you know, desperately trauma, you know, something right. In Philly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for the full answer, come to patreon.com/askRana, of course. And yeah, I mean, look, I think we understand what the question is here. So I have no problem answering this. For the answer, go to patreon.com/askRana.
I can't wait to answer this. It's going to be so good.
We love you. Thank you to our guest, Ryan O'Connell. And we will see you on the Patreon and next week. Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss.
Rana here with a bit of AI Social Club business, pardon me. Our June boxes are about to ship, and our inaugural AI Social Club Kiki will be held on June the 24th. All details forthcoming in email, so keep an eye out. And pardon me, in your boxes, make sure you keep one eye open for the fabulous password to this fabulous exclusive event. We can't
wait, we have so many surprises lined up, including Pat and Me, possibly a James Beard nominated bartender. So, excuse me, if that's not exclusive, I don't know what is. And if you're having a little bit of FOMO, as they say, or maybe they don't say that anymore, pardon me, we are now accepting members for July. Sign up by July 1st in order to receive the July Bespoke Cocktail Box, where we have another fabulous surprise creation. All the details at aisocialclub.com or aisocial.club, pardon me, if you're Brian. We can't wait to welcome you into the club. June sold out. Get in on July. Well, you still can, pardon me. Kiss, kiss.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.